This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is an ESPN special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
For the final time in 2021, it is ENN, not with Peter Rosenberg. Not with Andrew Gunling, but with yours truly, Ty Butler.
Right.
Filling in for the guys. Make sure you go to Twitter and Instagram, by the way, and hit that follow button on Ty D. Butler, TYDBUTLER. Here he's a really good follow. We start the way Andrew and Peter would by saying good evening to one Don LaGreca.
By beating Buffalo. Well, the Bills seem like they righted the ship by beating Buffalo.
Wow, so the Bills were struggling. Then they beat Buffalo.
Yeah, somebody said that that should be a drop, and obviously Anthony saw the same tweet that I did. I meant beating New England.
So was it that the defense played against the offense and then the offense won?
Yeah, something like that. You didn't beat themselves. Oh, by the way, ties up to 2,792. Let's get him to 3,000 before the CNN. What do you say?
Let's do that.
Let's do it.
I might have another project for you, Don, because you're helping me on social media. I might need some help with something else, but we'll get to that later on in ENN. Let's say good evening to Don once again.
I just like monkeys.
Big fan of the monkeys. This might be my favorite Don drop. And yeah, like I said, we're rounding out 2021, so I want to hear this.
Don and Peter with you until 7, and then we are going to have the great Brewers-Pirates game coming up at 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's amazing, Don.
Yeah. I've been known to throw great out a little Pirates. Too generously at times, and there's a perfect example. I didn't even know who was going to be on.
Well, speaking of throwing out great too generously, here is the Hall of Fame finalist list, and we'll get the results, as you mentioned, the Saturday before the Super Bowl. And I say throwing out greats too aimlessly, just because, you know, you can debate if these guys deserve to be in the Hall of Fame or they don't. Andre Johnson, DeMarcus Ware, Devin Hester, Patrick Willis, Sam Mills, Zach Thomas, Jared Allen, Richard Seymour, Bryant Young, Reggie Wayne, Torrey Holt, Rondé Barber, Tony Boselli, Willie Anderson, and Leroy Butler rounds out the list.
And we didn't get to Tony Boselli when we had Mike Tannenbaum on. I think he's a lock.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So who are your locks on this list? So Boselli, you've got one as a lock.
Let me punch it up here because I took it off my list here.
I think you also mentioned.
I got it here.
I'm sorry.
I think Zach Thomas, Richard Seymour, Sam Mills, Boselli are going. And I think Rondé Barber is going to go too.
Okay.
So, now, obviously, Mike disagreed with that. I also was a little surprised he said no Torrey Holt. But maybe, I don't know. I think these guys will get in eventually. Not all of them, but some of the ones that I said no to. But those are the ones I think will be part of the ceremony next year.
You think
Seymour definitely, Thomas definitely, Boselli definitely.
Do you think at some point DeMarcus Ware gets in?
Yes, I think at some point. Ware was a tremendous regular season player, but a lot like the other Dallas Cowboys, you know, not having a lot of success in the postseason, not necessarily all his fault, because he was really good player. I know those like Tony Romo teams that just couldn't win those Week 17 games, remember? But he was a heck of a player, too. I don't think first ballot, but I do think the ones that I mentioned are locks, but it's going to be fun to see who ends up getting in there. But I do think Rondé definitely will get in one day, although I do think it could be a first ballot. But we'll see, and we'll find out the day before the Super Bowl.
The day before the Super Bowl, indeed. All right, Don, earlier today it was announced that the NFL is going to honor the late John Madden with a moment of silence at all Week 17 games. This was the quote obtained by ESPN. To help honor Madden's legacy, we ask that each home team in Week 17 observe a moment of silence in his memory just prior to the start of the game. That's what the NFL told its clubs in a memo. And that's going to happen a week from this Sunday. You did an excellent job, by the way, eulogizing John Madden, especially for guys like myself. I'm obviously of the younger generation at 28, but you know what he meant to football and the influence he's had on this game, not just as a coach but as a broadcaster. It was incredible to see the outpouring of love all over social media.
Now, I probably underrated when I said the last 30 years. I'll go the last 50. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody as universally loved and influential over that period of time. There are people that remember him as a coach. There are people that remember him, obviously, as an announcer. And then there's a certain generation that remember him for the video game. So, I mean, who else in the NFL, honestly, over the last 50 years has influenced three different generations of football fans? And you know, usually the analyst in any sport, Ty, gets ripped as a homer or he doesn't like our team. I never heard that with Madden. No, I don't like to watch the Madden game. He hates the 49ers or he hates the Cowboys or he hates the Giants. No, everybody universally loved him. Everybody. And that's unheard of. You remember like Joe Morgan in baseball or Tim McCarver. There'd be people that hated them and certainly people that hate Joe Buck.
I mean, it's an excellent point. You would be hard-pressed to find any criticism of John Madden. And the way you just outlined it there, he influenced three different generations. So rest in peace to the great John Madden. All right, so let's go to local football here. It's a win-win situation for the New York Giants this week because you don't have to worry about rooting for your team to tank. You're playing a game against a team where you own their first-round pick. If you look at the current draft order, it is as followed. Jags, Lions, Texans, Jets. At number 5 sit the New York Giants at 4-11. Then it's Jets, Panthers, and then the Giants again at 8, courtesy of the Bears, who are 5-10. Joe Judge says there is no such thing, Don, as a meaningless football game.
The expectations and the competitiveness, that doesn't change. All right, we're not negotiating or compromising our standards around here. All right, and every game's important. It's a National Football League. You talk, you know, we all lost John Madden last night. One thing John Madden was great about, when you really sit back and listen to some of the things that he said throughout his career, and he talked about the importance of every game and every opportunity in the National Football League and the value of the opportunity we all have to coach or play in this league, and none of that should be taken for granted. You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, meaningless games. What is a meaningless game? Everyone here has worked very hard to be in this position, to play or coach in this league. We're only guaranteed or promised so many games a year. All right? It's a privilege to have the opportunity to go out here and compete. There's no such thing as a meaningless game. Okay? There's wasted effort. There's wasted preparation. But there's no meaningless games.
Well, two things. Number one, he's 100% correct. You know, working with Greg Buddle for 16 years, working with Dave Maloney for the last 15 years, as former players, whenever you bring up the game we're going to cover as being meaningless, and believe me, Ty, there were plenty of Jet games that Greg and I did that didn't have any meaning for the standings. You would see how angry they'd get. And they say the same thing Joe Judge would. You know, there's no such thing as a meaningless game. You prepare and you work your tail off to go out there and win games, and all these guys are going to be putting their effort on film to either keep the job they have or find another job in the NFL. So even though it's meaningless as far as the standings are concerned, that game still has a tremendous amount of meaning to those players and to those coaches. And he brought up John Madden, and another story that Giant fans will remember is after the Giants lost Week 17's matchup with the Patriots in 07 to keep the Patriots' perfect season alive, the Giants didn't need the game and could have rested players, and they played it straight up, and they almost beat the Patriots. And John Madden left a voice message with Tom Coughlin and got emotional to talk about how proud he was that Coughlin and the Giants played it straight up and how important that is to the NFL at a time where teams mail games in because they don't have meaning or trying to rest players for the playoffs. And so he's right. John Madden would play to play it straight. And as much as I've been on Joe Judge and think that he probably deserves to lose his job, what he said there is 100% accurate.
And I wanted to bring this up as well, Don, courtesy of the New York Post via Paul Schwartz. He has a column about the Giants, and 2 points he brought up. I'm just going to take it directly from the article. He says, ownership wants to keep Judge and will keep him unless someone in the interview process lays out compelling reasons as to why Judge has to go and offers a compelling replacement for a head coach. And he also says that if there's this theory that Mara is going to stay in-house when hiring a new GM in football of operations when it comes to Kevin Abrams, it's not necessarily true. He's a candidate, but it doesn't mean that he is, you know, a fait accompli going to be the next GM of the Giants. So
well,
found that pretty interesting.
All over the place, and it just, I find it interesting that like a couple of weeks ago it was they're coming back. There's no doubt about it, they're coming back. And now you're starting to see that as much as there's a lot of confidence that both are going to come back, a lot of hedging of bets here, because I do think how they perform in these last 2 weeks are going to be important. Like Mike Tannenbaum says, if they're engaged, if they play hard, or if they come up short, they come up short. But, Taya, if they just get blasted in both these games and it looks like there is like zero effort and that he lost the team, then how could you possibly bring him back? How?
It'd be hard to, Don. It'd be tough to. 10-21 through his first two seasons. Then you end the season just getting annihilated in two straight games. That would be tough to recover from.
And it's not like the Jets were taking on two playoff teams in the Buccaneers and the Bills.
Yeah.
Giants taking on the Bears and the Washington football team. They should not be destroyed by either of these two teams. So let's see how it plays out. And sometimes it's not about a final score. We got to see how it plays itself out. But if it looks like the second half against Philadelphia, if it looks like the Tampa Bay game, I don't see how you do it, but stranger things have happened.
And how about this? It would also mean that you ended the season with six straight losses. Mm-hmm. You got beaten by the Dolphins by 11, blown out by the Chargers, blown out by the Cowboys, blown out by the Eagles, and then back-to-back embarrassing losses to the Bears and Washington. Should that happen, it would be hard to argue bringing this guy back.
And Ty, it's not just the wins and losses. Look how this offense has looked since they let go of the offensive coordinator.
Jason Garrett.
I mean, so you go out and fire the OC and then don't win another game, and the offense looks awful under Freddie Kitchens, and now the retort will always be, but look who the quarterback is.
Freddie Kitchens.
Well, you decided. You chose Mike Glennon as your backup quarterback.
I don't care.
With Jones being somebody that has been a bit injury prone. You chose it. You allowed Colt McCoy to leave, who's won a couple of games in Arizona, Mike Glennon, and then you went out and got Jake Fromm. So, yeah, backup quarterbacks, but I don't know. I've seen my fair share of backup quarterbacks go out there and score points and win games. So I don't know if you can use that as a complete excuse.
Yeah, and I always find it interesting that, you know, when head coaches fire coordinators and assistant coaches, that's not a good thing. It's an indictment of your decision making. You hired these guys and now you're firing them, so you should be held accountable for the guys that you're firing.
Well, what you're saying is that you believe that he was a problem. You thought Jason Garrett was a problem. You fired him, and it didn't solve the problem. And again, I'm not asking these backup quarterbacks necessarily to win games, but you know, a meaningless touchdown at the end of the Philadelphia game. No touchdowns against the Dolphins. I mean, they're not scoring any points. You do realize that unless they score 30 points in the next 2 weeks, Ty, they'll go two full seasons without scoring 30 points in a game. It's almost impossible in this day and age. Impossible.
It's never been easier to score, Don, with the rules,
right,
the way that they're set up. It feels like you start at midfield because of some, you know, penalty that happens, whether it be roughing the passer or some defensive, you know, pass interference. It's tough to go two straight years.
No, it's impossible. Ty, it's impossible. The closest they came was the Saints game. That was when everything kind of came together. The Jones backers and Judge backers will throw out one. They were completely healthy. They went to New Orleans and they beat the Saints in overtime. I get it. That was one good game they had against a team that at the time we thought was good. Turned out that they're pretty much an average team, but still, New Orleans a tough place to play. They won that game, but Part of the NFL is not one rogue game. It's about consistency, piling up wins, piling up first downs, doing something on a consistent basis. The only thing this team has done consistently over the last 5 years is lose.
Tough. For the Jets, they're going to meet an old foe this weekend. Tom Brady comes into this game with the Bucs, 29-7 in his career against gangrene. It's a game that it matters for Tampa Bay. They're still alive for that number one seed in the NFC. Here's Robert Saleh when asked about facing Brady, a quarterback who's actually older than he is.
I'm going to ask him what water he drinks. I want to ask him a lot of questions about health because I need to get out of bed to probably the ease at which he does. But he's phenomenal. He's just watching his tape yesterday. I'm in absolute awe of his pocket presence, his footwork, just all of it, his decision-making. He's an absolute stud, and no question, the greatest that's ever played the position. And anyone who questions it, just look at the amount of rings he has. So it's going to be fun.
So I know they're not meaningless games, but, you know, for Jet and Giant fans, not much to watch. If you're a Jets fan, it's just the development of Zach Wilson. If you're a Giants fan, you just, you know, don't want to get embarrassed. My question to you, Don, which fan would you rather be right now? As we sit here, week 16, going into critical off seasons for both teams, would you rather be the Jet fan or the Giant fan?
You know, Ty, it's been a great question over the last few years, and the answer has always been, well, the Giants, because they seem to get it right more often than the Jets do. But honestly, there's just such state of flux. You don't know anything about your quarterback. You don't know anything about your head coach, whether it's going to be Judge or whether it's going to be somebody else. You don't really have a general manager. Meanwhile, the Jets, all right, there's some unknowns about the quarterback and the coach, and there's some Jet fans that aren't in love with Joe Douglas, but there's so much more stability right now with the Jets. They believe they have their quarterback. They believe they have their head coach. They believe they have their general manager. So I think it's got to be the Jets as opposed to a team that doesn't know if it's got a quarterback, a coach, a general manager. What exactly is Barkley at this point? What exactly is any of the weapons that they have and how it's going to work? So I know the Jets have a history of dysfunction, but right now stability belongs in gangrene.
Man, that's coming from a Giant fan. Yeah, I know you're obviously going to be objective, but you know that says a lot coming from a Giant fan. And it feels like, you know, apathy has become a cloud that's hovered over the fan base, because I listen to Dave Rothenberg, one of the most passionate Giant fans I know, and he says – you know, he's watching Sunday games and he just doesn't care. They're losing, he just doesn't care. So when you get to that point, like, I would rather you be angry than apathetic.
Well, because this is as bad as it's been in the lifetime of some people. I mean, when I first started following this team, Ty, in the mid-70s, they were this bad. But I was a kid. I didn't know any better. My father was a Giant fan. I was a Giant fan. I didn't know from nothing. So I watched because it was my team, and they embarrassed themselves and looked awful until they finally went to the playoffs and won a playoff game in 81. You know, so I grew up with it being awful. But since then, yeah, they had, you know, the mid-90s. They weren't good in 96. But then, they turn around and win the division in 97. And then they were awful in the early 2000s and 01 and 02, the embarrassment in San Francisco, and then ultimately the bad season in 03 that cost Fossil his job. But then Coughlin had them in the playoffs in 05, 06, and a Super Bowl in 07. This has been five solid years. They have not spent 1 second above 500 for going on 5 years now. I just mentioned two full years almost without scoring 30 points. It's as bad as it's been in the lifetime of some Giant fans. And Dave is only a few years younger than me, so his recollection of the mid-70s, late-70s, or when he was an infant. You know, so, yeah, we're going through stuff that some Giant fans have never gone through in their life.
And it doesn't feel like you're on the doorstep of it being any better, especially when you look at
But I think that's why, Ty, and maybe I'm guilty of this too, is why they want to see Joe Judge gone. When it was bad during the Ray Hanley years of 2 years, well, they went out and got Dan Reeves, and they won, and they made the playoffs. And then after Dan Reeves failed, they were able to go get Jim Fossil, and then Jim Fossil had him in the playoffs, you know, 2 years later. And then after Fossil, Tom Coughlin. Like, so they made changes to the coaching staff that worked. They have not done it in such a long time, and I think that that's where the faith lies in not Judge getting it right, that eventually Mara will get it right and bring the right guy in here.
And we'll see if that happens. All right, Don, let's end it with some hoops. The Knicks won last night, but how impressed were you? The good news is it's now three straight victories to improve to 17-18 on the season. The bad news, though, was that it took a miraculous effort in the fourth quarter from the bench to beat the Pistons, literally the worst team in basketball. The Knicks were down 14 to a 5-win team, had to put the starters on the bench.
Dear God.
And then bring the bench mob in, as they said. Alec Burks led the way. But here's how bad it was. RJ Barrett, of the starters, had clearly the best game, 15 points. Here's the rest of the starting lineup, Don. Randall, 5 points. Robinson, 5 points. Kemba, 2 points. Grimes, zero.
Well, and obviously you saw what happened with Randall. So his poor performance had to do with the COVID situation.
Yeah, again, now he's going to be in health and safety protocols. He's going to be out tomorrow, they announced, against Oklahoma City.
I don't know if he was experiencing symptoms and tested positive, whether he's asymptomatic, but I guess you can give him a break for that performance. But, Ty, this is not the first time we've heard that the bench bailed out the starters. Hey, they've got to win these games no matter how they can get them. They've got a winnable game against the Thunder tomorrow, winnable game against the Raptors, a team they're chasing after. On Sunday, get to above 500, but really, where are you going? What's the ceiling for this team? I don't think they can finish in the top six. Do you? I think this is a play-in team at best.
Right now, if you're 17-18 through 35 games, so you played 45% of the season. Aren't you are what you are at this point, right? Like, what would be outside of some big transaction being made mid-season where they acquire a surplus of talent or they get that one player who can change the vibe of this team? Aren't you are like the Knicks? They're 17-18-19. Isn't that kind of what you are right now?
Yeah, and then they're not all going to be layups, right? Eventually, you're going to have to take on the varsity side of things. You'll have games against the Nets and the Sixers and teams that are really good in your division, and so you're around a 500 team, and what around a 500 team is a team that's going to be in the play-in trying to get into the big dance, and that's a far cry from being the four seed last year. Now, I don't think anybody expected the four seed this year because of how good the Eastern Conference is, but I think this team's going to be battling to the end to avoid missing the playoffs.
Yeah, they will. One final quick note. The NBA has postponed tonight's Golden State-Denver game. The Nuggets don't have the eight players. This is going to be the 11th postponement of the season so far. And Draymond Green is actually unhappy with this decision. He tweeted out, "So when the game is rescheduled, which will probably take a day away from our break, we will play them at full strength. But they got to sneak in a win when we weren't at full strength only 2 days ago. Let's make it make some sense here." So, I mean, these leagues are dealing with the information and, you know, the circumstances as it comes. It's going to be tough because we see a lot of players voicing frustrations with the protocols and how everything is turning out.
All right, we're going to say goodbye to yes. Everybody that's listening or viewing this, have a happy new year. We'll talk to you in 2022. But to continue the conversation on 98.7 ESPN New York, fairness goes out the window during COVID. I'm sorry, Draymond. I'm sorry, Brad Marchand in Boston with the Bruins. I mean, this is... How do you expect to get by? Either we shut down, to be fair, wait for COVID to go away and come back like it was before COVID. I don't think anybody wants to do that because God knows how long we'd be shut down for, right? Because it doesn't look like this thing's going to go away. I'm starting to hear that phrase that I heard at the beginning of the pandemic that would turn my stomach. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
All right? So if you're going to shut down, you might be shutting down for, you know, 2-3 months. Does anybody want that? No. So now you're trying to make it work during COVID. So that means there's going to be times where it's not going to be fair, that you're going to have to play shorthanded, or maybe you're going to have to make up a game and now you're going to be shorthanded when they're at full strength. If you're looking for fairness trying to play through COVID, I don't know what you do. What does Draymond suggest we do?
Yeah,
so he wants to play the game and take advantage of Denver being shorthanded. Okay, that's fine. Now, are you going to feel the same way when you're down to seven players? And you're going to have to play a game that you logically would have won, but now we're going to lose? I mean, if you're looking for fairness in this world, good luck. So unless you want to shut down, I think this is what you have to live with. And you know what? Golden State's going to be okay. Ty, they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
They don't need this game. It's not a team battling to avoid the play-in or miss the playoffs altogether. No matter where they finish, they're still going to be a team that's going to be able to compete for the championship. And we hope and pray that this thing settles itself down by the time we get to April and May, so this doesn't affect any postseason games. But come on. Do you really want to be complaining at this particular point when there's positive tests all over the place? I mean, you know, we don't know where this is going to go over the next few weeks. So it's a stupid regular season game, and it got postponed. Big deal. I'd like to know his alternative.
Don, you thought we were going to end ENN without this?
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
Tiger Woods, y'all. The GOAT turned 46 today.
That's crazy. No, I'm serious. Like, that's crazy that he's a 46-year-old man. But it definitely shows you how different things are
in golf.
Now, obviously, he had the car accident. He's got a lot to overcome. But if he had not had the car accident, he'd still be somebody competing for championships. Where, you know, how old was Jack when he won the Masters back in 86? You know, 46 years old back then, you're like on the seniors tour.
Yeah. 82 PGA Tour wins, tied for first all time, 15 major wins, 5-time Masters champion. LeBron also turned 37 today. Wanted to give him a birthday shout out.
That's also kind of crazy, right? I mean, 37, that's no joke.
He's averaging 28, Don. No player in NBA history has ever averaged that many points at age 37 or later. Also, birthday shout out to the great Sandy Koufax. He turns 86 today.
Yeah.
And 72 became the youngest player in MLB history to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame. And I believe you also mentioned we had a hockey birthday today as well.
Igor Shesterkin's birthday is today.
Happy birthday, wow. Igor Shesterkin. Well, that'll do it for tonight's ENN, the final ENN of 2021. Tidy Butler on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you guys check that out.
Yeah, I got to see. He just turned 26, Igor Shesterkin, so I wanted to get that right. And let's get a quick update before we go to break on the Ty Butler situation as far as where you stand.
28-12.
Oh, we didn't do that. But we didn't really hammer it, so I'm not that disappointed.
We didn't hammer it, no.
But,
it's okay.
You know,
I
he's got a lot more than he did before the start of the week.
Yes.
That's the important
thing. That's what matters, and I appreciate that. Thank you, John.
We're going to close out 2021 with your phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. Don LaGreca here on the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.